Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Keep going.
Stop taking those hits.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, learn from those mistakes, and everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yep.
All right, boy.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
Welcome back. It's Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Having fun this Wednesday morning. Ruthie Polinsky is in for Mully.
So much fun.
This is fun.
Look at you, the serious show, having
this
fun.
This is a serious show. We have fun. We have fun here. Hey, we got the caffeine flowing.
Thank you, Mitch.
So that's definitely part of the deal. I think from, 6:30 on, it's fun. Maybe the first hour is a little, rough, but we're serious. We're not serious all the time, Ruthie.
You guys are a little... You're just a little more structured.
Structured. Okay.
Word.
Rigid.
Yeah.
Maybe a little rigid.
Spiegs and Company is, a little loosey-goosey.
Oh, yeah.
In the best way.
We like our vibes here too, babe. So we have good vibes. The vibes are flowing for the Houston Texans Sunday night. We heard that coming in the audio we addressed earlier in the show. C.J. Stroud giving Caleb Williams a little post-game advice. I think what bothered me before we get into some of the football aspect, I think that I heard loudest as we heard it again was that Caleb Williams was ready to kind of move on and shake hands, see you later, goodbye. I'm going to go rest my body that was been battered for 60 minutes after 7 sacks. And then CJ Stroud said, hey, come here. Then he's like, hey, hang in there. Nice gesture, good winner. I like everything about C.J. Stroud. I don't know that Caleb Williams wanted the little brother treatment at the time. And I could totally understand that. Get in, get out, go shower, get home, and start on the next game because this one is one you want to forget.
I am surprised that you're, criticizing the character of C.J. Stroud.
Not criticizing, but
questioning, I guess, the authenticity.
Cameras were there. They always know the cameras are there.
Let me ask you, you're on
TV a lot.
Yeah.
From NBC5, you've worked in Miami, you've worked in
Rhode Island,
you've worked in Texas, you worked all over. It's different when you talk differently when you know the cameras are on. Like right now, we talk differently during breaks maybe than we talk when the Twitch stream is going. You talk differently. You know every word that you say is being captured for posterity or whatever. So these guys are fully aware of what's going to happen when they say, hey, come here. I want to give you some more advice.
Yes, and I will say that I think especially, after talking to a lot of the Bears about the Hard Knocks cameras being around, I think when your life is documented, I'm not a Kardashian. I don't have camera crews following me around in everything I do. I know when the camera's on, I'm on.
Yeah.
But when people are following you around in your day-to-day routine in your life, it's different than me talking into a camera telling you the news. I think for C.J. Stroud, sure, that quarterback interaction, that's going to be something that he knows is going to be watched. But I don't think that would make him say something that he didn't mean.
So you think there was no part of that little advice from C.J. Stroud that was performative?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
I think that I've been way, too long if I'm that cynical, but I think my first reaction was I was that cynical. I was like, yeah.
I said this in Pick 6. My first reaction, which I think a lot of Bears fans were watching Caleb's response to C.J. Stroud's comments, my first reaction was, dang, that's so annoying that CJ Stroud is such a good person right. and he's a good quarterback
right.
and he's like nice and sweet. And like, it's just, that's annoying that, that they got him.
815 text in, Ruthie, they're not serious. They're old. Okay. Sorry. Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you, 815 texter. All right. So
young
the,
at heart.
The advice for Caleb Williams, not necessarily the CJ Stroud version of the advice, because I think that's quarterback to quarterback. Even though Joe Burrow wouldn't have heard anything from Patrick Mahomes, they weren't speaking after that loss. Mm-hmm. But that's a different story. If you were to have Caleb Williams before he either met the media or returned to practice today, he's 1-1. The first two games have gone not as we expected, not as he expected. We thought this was going to be the beginning of a new era. And you know what, Ruthie? This looks like more of the same. The defense is great. The offense is challenged. There are no touchdowns. There have only been three Bears teams that have gotten off to as slow of a start offensively as this one. Think about that. This is supposed to be the new Shane Waldron offense, the new Caleb Williams era. And after a new and different offseason, it's been the same old regular season. What advice, if you had to offer any to Caleb Williams, would you offer?
I would tell him to ramp it up. I think you want to make sure that he knows this isn't a situation he's in, and I think he does bear some of the responsibility. And I think he can lock in and he can work on his preparation and he can do certain things and avoid pointing the fingers at other situations and sleep at the facility. Do everything that you got to do in order to be the most prepared and the most ready you could possibly be for this Sunday so that you know that you're leaving it all out there on the field.
I like that. I like the fact that it all what that would do is reinforce who he is and was before he got here.
Absolutely.
But also tell him that it's time to get better. It's time to improve. Ramp it up, because you do have to be better, and you do have to adjust quicker, and you do have to do the impossible because you're an NFL quarterback, and we ask the impossible of these guys. And with the Bears' job description, it often includes running for your life and finding receivers anyway, because that's what this is going to be. You know, you want him to be somebody that is consistent. And so before he talks to the Bears beat reporters this morning or later this afternoon, before he gets back on the practice field and starts to, you know, get the game plan for the Colts perfected or practiced, be yourself.
Yeah.
Change very little. Learn from your mistakes. You don't want to be thrown into triple coverage off your back foot. Sometimes that works, but in the preseason, but it didn't work Sunday night. So, you know, recalibrate your risk-reward calculus, but don't really change your approach and don't let your confidence suffer.
100%. Continue to be who you are, and I think that's gotten him to where he is. And I wanted to bring this up during pick six when we were talking about the CJ Stroud interaction, where I think I just saw kind of on Twitter this circulating that Caleb's demeanor, he was trying to get out of there and he just had kind of bad body language in that situation, or maybe not what Bears fans wanted to see from their quarterback in that moment. He looked defeated and mad or whatever. I think if that's how you feel, to me, it's kind of you haven't really been paying attention. Because I think Caleb Williams is one of the most competitive people on the planet. And I also think that he has sort of this Cali bro, chill, Gen Z sort of vibe about him that's very relaxed. And I think that can be confused as bad body language.
Do you think that NBC created a situation where people were paying more attention to his body language? And I say NBC, meaning you guys, because NBC 5. So.
Yeah, right.
But Melissa Stark did refer to body language or the frustration in Caleb Williams. And I think to some people that said, whoa, let's look at Caleb Williams. Is she right? Doesn't he look frustrated?
Well, the side-by-side of Caleb and Justin Fields making the exact same expression in the same jersey, that's a tough look. That's not what you want to see. But I do think there's an element of I got to sit down and I got to exhale and I got to try and do my best to reset and not get mad and frustrated at myself in this situation. I never felt like Caleb Williams was mad at anyone in that situation other than himself.
Right.
I never got that feeling. And I think for Melissa Stark to say that he was frustrated is very accurate, and that's good reporting. Yeah. I think the body language is a wrong comparison or wrong analysis of what was happening in that moment.
Okay, now do DJ Moore. Because after the game, that was something we asked him about on a Monday morning at 8 o'clock when he was on our show, as he is every Monday morning at 8. They had just gotten home at 4:30 in the morning. Who knows how much sleep he had, maybe none. But we asked him about the frustration level, and he said that basically it wasn't anything specific, but I think that body language screamed the frustration that every Bears fan felt.
DJ Moore's body language was a little more telling to me because I really haven't seen that from him all last year.
Yeah.
I didn't see that from him. And I thought that was really interesting. But perhaps what we were seeing in that moment was all the expectations and all the hype and all the excitement around the explosiveness and the thrilling offense that we were going to get to watch and see and cheer for was just coming up way too short. And DJ wasn't getting the ball where he wanted it. And I think there was frustration about the communication and the operation that was not just DJ being mad at himself. It didn't feel like DJ was just mad at himself.
It didn't, did it?
No.
And I wondered if he was just saying what he needed to say publicly on Monday morning, because you did sense, and we all have our PhDs in body language in Chicago after the Jay Cutler era. We are used to watching it and drive some people crazy, but sometimes it can be very telling. 312-644-6767. What advice might you have for Caleb Williams today before he gets back to practice and before he meets the media? 630 texts in. The advice is to magically give him passing accuracy. He just isn't good on those medium deep balls. In college, he could run around for hours and find guys 10 yards wide open. Before that, it doesn't happen in the NFL very often.
That's interesting.
That is interesting, because in college at USC, as Dave Wannstedt has alluded to, and I know you work with Dave, so you've heard this too as well, teams against USC would drop 7 or 8 defenders. They would rush 3 or 4. It's the Pac-12. We're not known for its defense, not known for a lot of things that he faced Sunday night in Houston. You wonder how he will handle pressure. That was the great unknown. I don't know if it's fair to judge him after one game, but his accuracy will be compromised if he's got defenders and pass rushers in his face the way he did Sunday night.
Yes, and the protection was just abysmal. And I think when you're a young quarterback under pressure, seeing a defense that is new and different and challenging mm-hmm. is going to force you to do things that you haven't done before. And I'm talk about frustration. I'm frustrated at fans who think that the media, us, the community, we hyped up and gave Caleb all these expectations. I think we did a really good job as a community mm-hmm. in this city of preparing people for rookie bumps and bruises. I think there's a lot of still excitement and hope about what he can be. But I do believe that we did a good job of telling people that things were going to be tough and there were going to be ups and downs.
Okay. I'm less certain. Right. And I'm looking in the mirror and I'm pointing the thumb. I admit that there were times where I felt like I was getting a little more carried away than I typically get when I was talking about Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
But I do think what you're saying, two things can be true. You can have a level of excitement and high expectations when he was drafted and what it meant to the Bears, a franchise who has never gotten it right at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And I also think that during the preseason that people responsibly prepared the fan base for rookie growing pains, because they're going to exist, even for the best of them. Peyton Manning went through it. Other guys went through it. And I think Caleb Williams is experiencing that now.
And I think what's so frustrating about this is that what we did say is that Caleb is in the best situation of maybe any first overall pick ever. And I think what we're seeing is maybe that's not so true with this offensive line.
I think that's a good point.
That I think is what's maybe the most disappointing of this 2-game start to the season, is that we thought go make your mistakes, Caleb, because everyone around you is going to do their job. So when you make your mistakes, we got your back. I think what we're seeing is that's not the case.
Okay, that's an interesting point because I also think it's related to this. We're talking about expectations. CJ Stroud went into a situation that on paper, on the field, may not have looked as good as the one that Caleb Williams arrived at in Chicago. But you know what didn't accompany CJ Stroud to Houston? Enormous expectations. He was a second quarterback taken. He was the other guy in that draft. He was not Bryce Young. He came into a franchise that had been losing so badly and they had lost their way. So nobody expected anything from CJ Stroud. Meanwhile, a year later in Chicago, Caleb Williams comes in reputed to be the savior, the guy they've never had, compared to Sid Luckman. So there's all kinds of things in play, which brings us to the phone lines. Brendan is on the road. Brendan has a thought about expectations. Brendan, welcome to Mullen Haw.
Hey, thank you for having me. Just real quick, you guys just started to hit on it real well, and I've cautioned myself early since the draft. He's a rookie quarterback. This generational talent, all this other nonsense that was hyped, and I, you know, you say that everybody cautioned us. That's not true. Everybody in the city of Chicago, the writers, you guys set the tone of what the rabid bear fan goes after, and everybody is dying on this thing. Just let him be a rookie quarterback. Let the team figure it out. I know it's very hard to do in Chicago. We're not used to allowing people to figure their things out before we start analyzing them as, like you said earlier, body mechanics and body PhD people. Leave them alone. Stop. Just stop. Report on what happened. Quit making decisions. Tell the afternoon people to quit having such boisterous opinions on what every little critical thing means. And just let it play out. And we all won't go crazy.
Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate the phone call.
I love this city.
Well, I mean, he's got a point. And again, I accept responsibility and blame for being part of the Caleb Williams is
hype
going to
train.
Be great hype train.
You were the conductor.
I don't know if I was a conductor, but I was gladly along for the ride.
Yeah.
And
I think we all were.
Yeah, I think so. And Ruthie, I also want to say this, and Brendan's criticism is valid, and I accept that. But I also think that after two games that have been unimpressive, mostly, I don't think that I'm changing my projections Caleb Williams a bit.
I'm with you there. I think there are some things that need to be figured out around him, and I think if you remember before they broke for the summer, there was a conversation about cadence, right? And Caleb,
yeah.
Caleb, that was the word. We're like, we've never talked about cadence so much as a community. And then he comes back and it's better.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we give him, that was 6 weeks
right.
of him away from the team. You know, he was working on it. Give him time. He's going to get better. I really hope and pray that the protection will get better as they piece this offense together. I know Dan Wiederer, we're going to talk to him later. He was on with Spiegs yesterday, and he was saying he gives offensive coordinators 4 weeks
mm-hmm.
or a month
that's
to
generous.
Figure it out.
I think that's good. That's a good
but that's,
rule of thumb.
This is a rookie quarterback, so
right.
it almost like, give me another 3 weeks
right.
Tacked onto
that's
that.
That's fair. That is a fair way to look at it and a good evaluation
period. The problem
period.
Is, I think, with this organization and what the situation is that there's not a lot of time to figure it out, because all of a sudden it's going to be week 11 and Green Bay's in town.
And Bryce Young got 19 games and then he was benched. Let's squeeze in a phone call. Jeff is on the Odyssey app. Jeff, welcome to Mullen Haw.
Hey, good morning, David, and welcome, Ruthie.
Thank
Even
you.
Though you went to the you went to the college where they call it maize, we call it corn, but it's party on. Anyway, yeah, you go. Anyway, I heard from Herb Howard. I don't know if you heard it from reporters around the Bears or in the locker room. I think it was last Friday. He had mentioned that Caleb Williams has strong feelings on Stroud or dislikes Stroud. And I don't know if anybody's touched on that. Maybe something to ask Dan if he's heard the same thing. But I'm wondering if maybe when they were growing up, if they did like the Trevor and Justin thing where they were competing at same camps and maybe there was a little competition anger between the two or something like that. And that might be one of the things why Williams is a little seemed a little cold towards him at the end,
Jeff.
Too.
Yeah.
We'll look into that. Thanks for the phone call.
And I know last week when there were a lot, obviously it was the big conversation, the Caleb Williams, CJ Stroud comparison, and Caleb Williams wanted nothing to
he
do with
that. He did not want anything to do with
when
that.
When he was asked about it.
Yeah, that's something else. 773 texts in. CJ Stroud does not have the gravitas to give Caleb sage advice. They are both 22 years old. I get it. And I don't want to take anything away from CJ Stroud, the player. I just feel like in that moment, I would have understood if Caleb Williams did not have time to listen to somebody who was 1 month older offering him sage advice. That's all. We'll talk to Dan Weider about it next. He is from the Take the North podcast and the Chicago Tribune. Ruthie Polinsky is in for Mully. It's the Mully and Haw Show. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Give me the score.
Hike! Hike!
Dan Weiderer.
You've got a guy with credentials, you got a guy with some qualifications, and now there's just when done at its best, provides a level of steadiness and stability that helps create and stimulate success.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
Listen, we're not going to accept the status quo. We are going to push for more. We are going to strive for more.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast with our own David Haw.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Weiderer with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Bear down. Let's go.
Welcome back. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. Time now to go out to the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. That's where we find Dan Weiderer from the Chicago Tribune and my partner on the Take the North podcast. Good morning, Dan. How's it going?
Going well. How are you guys this morning?
Doing well. Having fun. Ruthie sitting in, dropping all kinds of wisdom and advice. And
she got that early wake-up call, right? And was able to do it like you're able to do it 4:30 in the morning.
Well, Dan, I was telling David that I am used to doing the afternoon show because it's just a little bit more fun. This show's a little more serious and structured, and it's a little bit pushing me out of my comfort zone. So I'm welcoming the challenge.
I like it. I like it.
So, Dan, we were talking earlier about I just want to get your take because we did drop a Take the North episode yesterday. I don't think we addressed this, but the CJ Stroud to Caleb Williams post-game advice, the from you know big brother to little brother, they're, you know, he's 1 month older than him, but 1 year more experience in the NFL. What'd you think of it?
Interesting exchange on a number of levels. Number one, Caleb was asked about it immediately after the game and sort of just kind of blew past it. You can tell both from the video and his reaction in this post-game news conference that it wasn't something he was really in the mood for at that moment. when we got the video from NFL Films, I loved it. I really enjoyed sort of the quarterback brotherhood essence of that moment of CJ Stroud trying to encourage one of his QB brethren who he saw had a really rough night and just wanted to give him a little pick me up at the end of that. Caleb understandably was competitively disappointed and didn't really want to hear it in that moment, but I thought it was cool. I don't know how you guys reacted to it, but it was a nice little snapshot there at the end of a long night.
Dan, I said that I was annoyed that CJ Stroud is a great player, but also a really good person. Like, why do you have to be perfect? It's annoying. But I also thought, I think there's just kind of been some circulation on Twitter. People are questioning or concerned about Caleb's body language in that interaction. And my response to that was like, those are coming from people that maybe haven't spent a lot of time around him, where he kind of has that very cool guy, Cali bro, just like chill energy, which is kind of what I saw in that moment. I don't know about you. And also a very fiery, competitive person who was very probably upset and ready to get off the field in that moment.
Yeah, I lean much more toward the latter there. I agree with you that I think that I've been a big fan of the way Caleb has that chill energy about him. But what I witnessed Sunday night was a guy who was very, very angry at the way that game unfolded and the fact that they let an opportunity get past them. And welcome to the life in the fishbowl, right? Like every little thing you do, everything you say, every mannerism you show is going to be scrutinized and dissected. In this case, observing him in that moment, then seeing him in the locker room and seeing him sort of stare off with a palpable sense of agitation. And I would describe it as competitive agitation because they knew that they had a big stage to show some things on and they showed the wrong things on it. And so I just think that there was a level of aggravation that Caleb had probably from the time the final gun sounded to the time he got on the bus that was pretty noticeable.
Nice job on the afternoon show yesterday with Spiegs, Dan. And I think you guys addressed this a little bit, but when the Bears get back on the practice field today, I don't expect them to have wholesale changes. I'm not even sure they're going to make any alterations to the offensive line because I think they could justify it. I mean, seven sacks are seven sacks, 36 pressures are 36 pressures, but I don't know what the right reaction to that is. Is it try to keep all five guys together because they played every snap of that game? And that doesn't happen very often in the NFL, especially with the Bears in Chicago. But what do you think will happen with the offensive line in terms of the approach, personnel, and any changes?
The right reaction, in my opinion, David, is to take a very high-powered microscope to every single individual that played on the offensive line on Sunday and every single play, and then get together in a room and go through all of it and figure out how do we troubleshoot this as quickly as possible. I'm not one for knee-jerk reactions two games into a season just to make change for change's sake. But you do have to establish some sort of forward moving momentum with this offense sooner rather than later, particularly Sunday in Indianapolis. And in order to get that done, you better know who your best five to get that done are. And so that's a conversation that Matt Eberflus has to have. It's a conversation that Chris Morgan and Shane Waldron have to be a part of. And you've really, really got to dive down on this to figure out how do we get this thing going quickly? Because a third consecutive offensive clunker in a loss Sunday in Indianapolis is going to open the floodgates for criticism and worry and concern that you don't want to open this early in your season. We've lived that too many times before. And so I hope that they're well along the way on that process. And then we'll get to talk to Matt later this morning to get a understanding of where he's at with the evaluation of that group up front.
How big of an opportunity, Dan, is this weekend in Indianapolis? Just in order to get that offense clicking, find some rhythm, establish a run game, doesn't this feel like the week that they could really get things moving here?
It was funny, Ruthie, because you're kind of monitoring the coverage from Indianapolis, and Gus Bradley is under just as much fire in Indy as Shane Waldron is here because they haven't been able to stop the run a lick through the first 2 weeks. I think they've given up more rushing yards in weeks one and two than any team since 1978, before you were born and while I was probably still in a crib, you know. And so that's a long time ago before you've had that type of production in the running game against an opponent. And so the Bears better find a way to capitalize on that. I really believe that this offense is, you know, three or four explosive plays away from feeling that sense of calm and getting that confidence to come from that calm and saying, okay, there it is. We just hit a chunk run for 18 yards. Now that's going to set up this play action game that we haven't been able to get unlocked for the first 2 weeks. And all of a sudden things will start to get rolling. But the very first step is establishing the run against an opponent that is going to be shorthanded without DeForest Buckner, that has already shown it's very vulnerable against the run. And you better take advantage of that opportunity right away. First series, second series, third series, and establish that doubt in the back of the Colts' mind that, oh man, it's going to be another long day with us trying to get our arms around the run game.
I don't think in the run game it's fair to look at DeAndre Swift's 24 carries for 48 yards and put that all on him, even though that's under his name. I don't know what Khalil Herbert offers in the way of a different downhill runner, perhaps a guy who gets to the hole quicker. I don't know what Roschon Johnson's role on this team is yet, Dan, but if you're looking at the running game and you figure that they're going to maybe have 30 to 35 carries on Sunday if things are going well against a Colts defense that is weak against the run, how do you see the carries distributed or redistributed if all three guys are in the mix?
Well, yeah, and look, like Roschon Johnson has to be a guy that gives you something, and I don't know what has been the hesitance. I know he's obviously hurt through a big chunk of August, but you drafted him for a reason, and part of that reason is because he runs with a style that is pretty palpable. You can feel it when you're watching it. You can see it on video, and he's got to be part of this mix sooner rather than later. It's very cliche in the NFL to talk about establishing an identity, but the Bears need to establish an identity offensively, and it's got to come soon. It's got to come before we get out of the bye week. You know, we've got four games coming ahead against opponents that every single one of them should be beatable. And you have to take that opportunity to establish who you're going to be offensively. That's up to Shane Waldron. It's up to Caleb Williams. It's up to the offensive line. It's up to the running game to start to let opponents know what you are preparing for every single week. And a big part of that, in my opinion, is determining how you want to run the football, not just that you're going to run the football, but how are you going to do it and how are you going to do it most effectively? That's a big part of this week's troubleshooting efforts, in my opinion.
Dan, how much of Sunday's loss do you put on Caleb Williams' shoulders?
I mean, it's shared responsibility. One of the things that I want to see from him going forward Sunday is the ability to hit those game-changing plays when they're there. I remember talking to Matt Nagy about this late in his tenure as Bears coach, about how so many of these football games come down to whether the quarterback is able to, take advantage of the window opportunity. There's going to be a half dozen plays every game where it's there for you to swing the football game. The one that comes to mind from Sunday night is the first drive of the third quarter. And Caleb Williams has got a third down shot and he gets a little bit of pressure and he climbs the pocket and slides to his left. And he's got DeAndre Carter breaking open toward the left sideline. And the safety's taking a bad angle. And if he throws a good ball there, it probably goes for a touchdown. And all of a sudden, everything in that game changes. Game flow changes. The feeling on the sideline changes. Everything gets a little bit looser. The week before, we talked about the out and up to Keenan Allen. Hopefully next week, when we get here in the middle of the week, we're talking about one or two big plays that Caleb hit. And so I think that's the next step here, is that even when things are going south and the night is a little bit rickety, you find a way when an opening is there to hit that big play that then creates that belief in the huddle, that then creates momentum, that then creates more scoring opportunity. And that, I think, is the next step for Caleb.
So, Dan, Keenan Allen has plantar fasciitis and has heel pain, and it could linger. And as Mark Potash pointed out this morning in the Sun-Times, and I know you're aware of this, Keenan Allen has now missed 12 games in his last 36, and that kind of coincides with after he turned 30. Not that life goes downhill after 30, but it could for wide receivers, and it has been known to. Concern level for Keenan Allen and his availability, he's making a lot of money. The Bears are counting on him to help the young quarterback get through any rough patches. But he's got to be available to be effective. What is your concern level?
Well, you know as well as anyone in the city where my concern level is at with this, David, and it's high, because you're talking about a wide receiver who's having problems with his foot. Not a great combination there. And I haven't loved the way that the Bears have messaged us from the start. They downplayed it significantly at the end of training camp. Ryan Poles told you it was just a minor cleat issue, and now it's been lingering for probably about a month now. And you've got a guy that you're counting on to be a big weapon in your offense who's unable to get out there on a big stage Sunday night, and now we've got a monitor going forward. My rule, obviously, all the time is now you have to use the eye test, and you got to stop listening with your ears and using your eyes to figure out where Keenan Allen's at. And so what I need to see is 3-4 consecutive weeks of practices. I need to see 3-4 consecutive games in which he's able to play unhindered. And so until you get past that hurdle, your concern level should be up there, because this is a guy that you need to be productive. And right now, the biggest storyline with him is whether he's healthy enough to even get on the football field for you.
One of my favorite storylines, and I know we haven't talked about him in a little bit, so that's why I'm going to throw this one at you, but what happens with Velus Jones this weekend?
I think probably, Ruthie, what happened with him last weekend. I think Velus Jones has got to get used to having some really challenging weeks of practice, and then, you know, putting on a pair of sweatpants and a tech tee on the sideline during the games. I think that you've lost your opportunity to be a contributor on special teams because of that fumble in week one. I don't think this was a one-off for them and saying, okay, just take a week away. I think it's, you know, DeAndre Carter and Khalil Herbert back on kicks. And then, you know, offensively, you're trying to find some other things to get unlocked. And I don't think Velus is the answer to that. So I think he's probably stays inactive for the foreseeable future.
Which Anthony Richardson do you think shows up for the Colts on Sunday? The one that scares you for the big play and explosiveness, or the one that will throw you the football?
Yeah, I think the Bears have enough defensively to force him into becoming the latter. And David, I think this is where the importance of having an offense that establishes the run and gets you to play from ahead is really important. You know, if you can make Anthony Richardson chase, then all of a sudden he becomes more vulnerable to the mistakes that he's capable of making. And this defense will capitalize on those mistakes. We went into Houston understanding that CJ Stroud doesn't give you a lot of opportunities to take the football from him, and he didn't give you many on Sunday night. This is a different animal with Anthony Richardson, and the best way to get him to become mistake prone is to play the game on your terms. And play the game on your terms means scoring first, getting the lead, and then letting your defense be your defense. This defense, guys, has given up 3 points after halftime in the first two games, and they've had 4 takeaways. Ride with that every single week, right? And understand that that's a formula for success, and hopefully they're able to get there.
Great stuff, Dan. Thanks a lot. Good luck at Hallis Hall today.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, guys. Enjoy the rest of the show. Appreciate you guys.
Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune and the Take the North podcast. You can find it on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We have a new episode dropped yesterday. A lot of fun. Good stuff. When we come back, yeah, the national media already at it, speculating. Do we really want to hear this now? You'll hear it next. It's Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Well, I'll just throw this out there. You look at their schedule. If they lose 3 of the next 4 games, you will hear Lincoln Riley rumors. I promise you. Now, I don't think Lincoln Riley wants it. He's got a great staff at USC. They're going to beat Michigan. They're going to be 3-0. They're going to be a top 5-6-7 team. He's not going to take that job. That's not a good fit for Lincoln Riley. But this is a quarterback that lives on improvisation. Brett Favre did a lot of it. I'm okay with it. Lamar Jackson does a lot of it. Mahomes early did a lot of it. Kyler Murray this weekend did a lot of it. I'm for it. But those kind of quarterbacks need strong coaching to get structure. And I'm not sure it's in the building.
Welcome back. It's Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. Just stop.
Ruthie Polinsky rolling her eyes.
Colin Coward. At it again. He's very talented.
He's so good at what he does. I really like him. Me too.
I really, really like him. But I hate stuff like this. I hate stuff like this. We're giving it oxygen here. We're paying attention to it because I think sometimes you have to do that to discount it. Lincoln Riley, to me, needs to prove he can be a head coach at USC, let alone the NFL. I get the connection to Caleb Williams. But slow down here. The Bears are 1-1. Their schedule says that they could be, the next 3 games are winnable. And I know he added the asterisk, the caveat that, well, if they lose 2 of the next 3 games, whatever the case may be, yeah, the seat will get hot for Matt Eberflus. This is Chicago, passionate football city. We'll do our jobs. We'll apply the pressure and the scrutiny. I don't know that I'm dying to see Lincoln Riley at Hallis Hall.
Have fun staying in games if you bring in an offensive coach with a rookie quarterback. That's all I got to say. The best thing about having a defensive head coach for Caleb Williams right now is that his defense is keeping him in these games while he figures it out.
That's exactly right. He's lucky to have that defense. And I guess what you're saying without saying it, don't want to put words in your mouth, but Matt Eberflus is a big reason that defense is playing at as high of a level as it's playing.
1,000%. And I think he deserves every oodle of credit.
Google
for the way that this defense is playing. Obviously, bringing in talent helps. And the Montez Sweat addition to this defense completely changed the trajectory of it. But Matt Eberflus deserves every ounce of credit for the way that this defense is playing, which, as Dan Wiederer pointed out, has allowed 3 points in 2 second halves of football.
That tells you the adjustments they're making at halftime.
That's a good coach.
That's good coaching. And I think that you respect the fact that the Bears get better defensively as the game gets longer. Also, this from Mark Potash this morning in the Sun Times. It's must read every Wednesday morning, Potsy is, and on most days. Did you know the Bears have allowed 20 points or fewer in their last 8 games, the longest current streak in the league, and it ties for the longest such streak since 2005 when they hit 9. 2005 was the first year Lovie Smith's defense was really very good. That was the beginning of the Lovie Smith defense can help you try to win a championship era.
Those were my guys, Lance Briggs,
Alex Brown, Charles Tillman, Brian Urlacher, certainly. And I think that when they won the opener in the manner that they won it, the comparisons were, and I think I wrote it, we talked about it, an ode to 2006 and 2005, the Lovie era. Takeaways, great defense. And when the numbers look like they do, yeah, you have to give credit where it's due. This is definitely a defense that gives the Bears a chance to win. The biggest play that we kind of have overlooked on Sunday in Houston, Andrew Billings creating that fumble at the time that he did it, it prevented it from being a two-score game. It gave the Bears the football back in it with a chance to win the game. And that's what the hits principle, as people cringe and roll their eyes.
I love it.
That's when the hits principle was applied, and they created their own luck there, and Andrew Billings is a guy who gets overlooked for doing that, but that was a big play.
Was it on your show that Brad Biggs said that he's the third most important player on this team, which I love?
Do you agree with that? He said Montez Sweat and Caleb Williams in either order, and then he said Big Bill. I don't know about that. I think I had him just outside the top five, maybe around 6 and 8.
It does feel like he's anchoring all of it, and it kind of centers around what he's doing. I do think that right at this point, you're going to need to figure out your offensive line has got to get better, and that's what's hurting this team the most right now. So even though Big Bill is playing really, really well, you still got to figure a lot of other things out on offense before you can consider this.
It's a good
him
point,
the most
Ruthie.
Important person
think,
on this
I
team.
I think the problem with the offensive line is they don't have a player really that you would consider indispensable.
Can I say something? Darnell Wright and Braxton Jones and Tevin Jenkins are just really nice guys. And I've loved getting to know them and cover them and learn about their stories, and they have great personalities.
Is there a but?
I want someone to go hit somebody.
Right. You want a defensive mentality on the offensive line.
I do.
I think that's a really interesting point, because it also goes to the broader question about when Ryan Poles put this offensive line together, a guy who played the position, did he do so with guys that reminded him of himself? Pretty intelligent, mild-mannered, responsible, the guy that's going to make his bed in the morning, every 100%. Morning. You know, the guy that's going to be cleaning up after himself, not the guy that's going to, you know, push the envelope and be the guy that you have to keep an eye on necessarily. You want a little edginess, maybe.
Yeah. That's just kind of where we were talking about how I just think the offensive line is so important that I can't get behind saying that Andrew Billings is the third most important player on this team right now when they lost the game and he had a great game. Does that make sense?
He's off to a good start in this season. He really is, and I think that it's a fair point. We'll get back to Bears talk later in the program, but when we come back, what was Ozzie Guillen doing on a Chicago River cruise? We'll ask him when we talk to Oz next on Mully & Haw. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.